Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP is holding a forum on tax reform at the Chapel Hill Public Library, talking about the possible effects of the national tax reform bill, the details of which are still being hammered out by this joint House and Senate committee. What will emerge, if anything, from that committee still remains to be seen. Also remains to be seen what, if anything, will pass, but there are enough details about the House plan plus the Senate plan that we can get a pretty good sense of what the effects of that tax bill will end up being on an individual level and here in our community. So if you want to learn more, come on out to the Chapel Hill Public Library for that. Anna Richards heads up the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP. She joins us here now in the studio, and we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, this forum on tax reform, but it is pretty significant, and with everything else that's in the news right now, especially with the Alabama election, which is significant enough this week, tax reform, for better or worse, has kind of gone down below the fold in terms of top stories. So it's a good reminder that this issue is still very, very present.
It really is. And in fact, if for no other reason, we need to bring it back above the fold because they haven't voted on the final version yet. There still is time for action. And so informed action is the best kind of action. And so I think the forum tonight will give us a sense of what is likely to be passed should something be passed. And I just want to highlight before I talk some of the specifics, we have some great panelists tonight. Samuel Gunter, who is the Director of Policy and Advocacy for the North Carolina Housing Coalition. And so specifically talking about the impacts on some of the programs in housing, but also how this will impact real estate and taxes around that and the lack of deductibility or the caps on real estate taxes, those kinds of things. We then have Alexandra Ciorda, who's Director of Budget and Tax Center for the North Carolina Justice Center. So really understands budget and tax, which many Americans, unless you're really into finance, don't understand that. And our other panelist is Alan Fryer, who's the Director of Workers' Rights in North Carolina Justice Center. And he spent a lot of time in D.C. Working on congressional staff, specifically around labor and budget issues. So folks who are able to look at this bill at a level of detail beyond most of us, and there'll be some short presentations. We're not going to spend a lot of extraneous time. We're going to let them talk and then have time for lots of Q&A.
And without knowing the specific details of what bill is going to come out, there are, and correct me or add to this if I start to get this wrong, but sort of three big broad categories that we can talk about in terms of what the impact might be of this bill, whatever it ends up being. The first is any change to those income tax brackets, right? How much we know, or how much we make versus how much we'll pay.
Right.
The second is those deductions. A lot of those are going to go away, and that was sort of one of the initial motivators for tax reform in the first place is, oh God, we've got all these deductions. The tax, your tax form is pages and pages long, and the tax law runs on for hundreds of pages. So let's streamline that. And then in the debate, the deductions that apply to kind of powerful, richer organizations, we'll keep those, but the ones that apply to people who can't afford their own lobbyist in Washington, D.C., we'll still get rid of those. And then the third, and this is kind of long-term, not even necessarily to do with the immediate impact of the tax bill, is, okay, so we've got all of these tax cuts, now we end up with a deficit, so in 2018, what are we going to talk about cutting, right?
Medicare, Social Security, things like that. Right, and so that's where I'd really like to focus for the few minutes that I have.
Yeah.
There's this concept that is has been around for a long time in conservative circles called starving the beast, right? And the beast is the government, right? Mm-hmm. The bureaucracy of the federal government. And it was appeared during the Reagan years, and it was kind of part of the neocon rhetoric around less government spending through reduced federal budget. And then that really kind of led to the big tax cuts of 1986. It's kind of ironic because the rhetoric will go something like, oh my God, we have these big deficits, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And as you just mentioned, we're creating this over $1 trillion. I don't know what it's going to be, but you know, I've heard estimates as high as 2 and kind of in the middle range, most frequently $1.4, $1.5 mm-hmm. trillion dollars of deficits. And so, we have got to cut something because of these deficits. So we just passed a defense bill today, building up the military portion of our expenditures. And so, what is there left to cut? Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about categories, I've got some numbers here. Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
Lots of people depend on that. Estimated cuts up to 47% of where we are today. Food stamps cut by 30%. Pell grants and student loans almost go away completely. K-12 school funding would be reduced by 30%. Head Start would lose nearly 200,000 kids. Job training cuts would increase 40%, and nearly 1 million households would lose assistance with housing and things like that. And so it's not just, you look at these programs and whatever you think about them, they are designed to help people out of poverty and help people achieve a middle class or at least a sustainable living that they can then contribute to society and theoretically the tax right resources of the country. And these are things and at the same time, people who are at the upper end of the scale are getting breaks that enhance their position over time. So you're creating this permanent underclass and taking away the mechanisms that folks have to improve. And that includes things like student loans and Pell Grants and research dollars and research graduate student assistance and things that really are designed to help folks achieve, quote, the American dream and live in this country in an economy that's open to all, mm-hmm. right? So to me, I think we don't know what's going to be in it if it gets passed,
right?
But every version I've seen takes the corporate tax rate down,
mm-hmm.
Eliminates some of the middle class tax benefits.
A lot of those deductions.
A lot of those deductions. And then when we call it reform, I really don't call it reform. It's because the loopholes at the top end are still there.
Mm-hmm.
The deductions in the middle are gone. The rationale is that some of the standard deductions become higher, but those at the bottom, everything that I've seen, one, will end up paying more in taxes, and two, the programs that were designed to help them achieve a better quality of life and be more contributing to the overall society, those things eventually go away.
Yeah. Speaking with Anna Richards again, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP. Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.wordpress.com. is the website, or just Google Chapel Hill NAACP. It'll come right up. We're talking about this tax reform or tax bill forum that's going to be at the Chapel Hill Public Library tonight. I'm doing this from memory. 6:30 to 8, right?
6:30 to 8.
Yep.
They kick you out of the library at 8, so we got to be done by then.
All right, but plenty of time for Q&A, right?
Plenty of time for Q&A, and I really hope folks come out and get informed, and we still have at least the rest of this week to get on the phone, make those calls, and try to have an impact.
Yep, and get informed about a bunch of different issues. I know we bypassed the Alabama election, but without even mentioning the race between those two candidates, I think one thing that's kind of been below the fold and kind of under the radar, and this isn't something that we usually talk about in the context of Alabama, because when you have a national race or a statewide race in that state, because it's such a lopsided Republican state, you don't usually have close elections there where this has a significant impact on who wins or who doesn't. But today it very well may. Alabama's got a voter ID law. Alabama shut down the DMV offices in a lot of majority black counties, making it more difficult for African Americans to get IDs. And this is a state with a significant percentage of African Americans who can't vote in the first place because there are laws against people voting if you've been convicted of a crime, and you've got a justice system that targets African Americans.
Well,
and all of those things together.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be real. If all African American eligible voters in the state of Alabama went to the polls and voted, they could not turn this election.
Yeah.
So I get a little bit out of sorts when people focus on that, because in this case, it's suburban white women who can turn this thing.
Yeah.
And so if they're comfortable with the candidate, and I also get a little bit uncomfortable with pointing to Alabama, because what Alabama is right now is a reflection of what's going on across this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the help on both sides, in fairness, to this race came from outside of Alabama.
Yeah.
A lot of the contributions for both sides came from outside of Alabama. And what is going on there is really a microcosm of what has been unleashed in this year of the 45. And I think we need to, one, understand that black folks alone cannot do this in Alabama, just like they couldn't do it in North Carolina. And the white suburban voter has to make a decision about who they want to represent them in Washington. And if they're comfortable with that candidate, then we'll have to go from there. But it's really, really something that I think, you know, as we watch and listen, you just shake your head and go, how could we even be at this point?
Yeah.
How could it even be close? Even before the allegations, here's a person who said the 13th and 14th Amendment, anything after the 10th Amendment.
13, 14, 19, 24.
Basically anything after the first 10, which includes women not voting, African Americans not voting.
Yep. African American citizenship period.
Citizenship period.
Right.
All the anti-slavery amendments, right? But women, you know, and believes that, you know, homosexuals should, you know, it should be a crime. They shouldn't be able to have children. That Muslims shouldn't be allowed to be in Congress. I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
It's not just about the Ten Commandments.
And these are things, not only does he think them, but he's like happy saying them in public because he doesn't see there's anything that could potentially be wrong.
These are his stated positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to assume by the applause and the fact that he keeps getting reelected that there's enough folks in Alabama who agree.
Yeah.
And are willing to stand up and vote for that.
Yeah.
And so that's where we are as a country, though, today. And, you know, enough to win. I don't know if it's the majority, right?
Yeah.
But enough to win in any given election. And part of that, of course, is driven by who votes and turnout. So, again, I'll get back on my favorite topic, and that's getting out to vote.
Getting out to vote,
elections have consequences.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Chapel Hill Carborough, naacp.wordpress.com is the website. Go there, get more. Chapel Hill Public Library tonight at 6:30 for the tax forum. Honor Richards, thank you so much.
Thank you.